Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarod Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Ivakivalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Gatiranyata. So, we'll do a quick overview of the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and then we will continue with our regular Chaitanya Charitamrita class. All in favor, say Hari Bol. So, chapter 14 is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. This concept of the three modes of material nature is very revolutionary and very significant. Revolutionary because where else, other than in Vedic scriptures, are you going to even hear of such a concept? Being raised in a Catholic Christian tradition, there's no concept of this. And it is very, very special. And it is mentioned by Krishna in this chapter that if you understand this whole concept of the three modes of material nature, you can make great spiritual progress in your life. So this chapter is very, very special. So let me just read a little bit from Prabhupada, and then I will explain. First, there's a nice capsule understanding. All embodied souls, so that means us, embodied souls was discussed in chapter 2. That was the first thing Krishna explained, that we are an embodied soul, are under the control of the three modes. Sorry to say, even the devatas are under the modes of three. You'll find that in chapter 18. Because this concept, Krishna reviews, this is now where he's introducing. But in chapter 16, he'll talk a little bit more. Chapter 7, more about the modes. And chapter 18, the first half, is all about the modes of nature. So it's quite an important subject, at least from Krishna's point of view. And one of the last things he says about the modes of nature: there is no being in this world not under the control of nature. The only people who are not under the control of nature are those who have fully surrendered to Krishna. That's explained in chapter 7, one of my favorite verses. Daivihiyesha gunamayi mamamaya duratyaya mam eva ye prapajante mayam etam tarantite. All right, so in chapter 7, he explained, the only way to overcome these three modes, you surrender. Then at the end of this chapter, he'll say the same thing. So I'll save that, because that's probably the most important verse in the whole chapter. All embodied souls are under the control of the three modes, or qualities of material nature. The Sanskrit word is guna. Guna means quality, it also means rope. So, those ropes of the modes of nature is how we become bound up. We will learn in chapter 18, you're either bound up in the mode of goodness, like a brahmana, a real brahman, not birth brahman, one who acts as a brahman. He's bound up by the mode of goodness. Kshatriyas, right? Kshatriyas, mode of passion. Rajarshis, mixed passion and goodness. Arjuna, Yudhisthira, although those are devotees. But from one angle of vision, a Rajarshi is in a mixed mode. Then you have the Vaishyas, mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And then Shudras, ignorance. From one particular angle of vision. It's not so simplistic, but in general. So there are ropes which bind us. But notice, Damodar Lila, could Yashoda tie up Krishna? That's because Krishna cannot be bound by the roads of material nature. That's why he was always two fingers too short. Krishna was showing us, I cannot be bound by these modes of nature. I am transcendental. Same thing he'll say in the next chapter, that there are two kinds of living beings, fallible and infallible, but I am Purushottama, above them both. Ah, that's God. God cannot be bound. Just as the sun, can a cloud actually overcome the sun? No. Who creates the cloud? The sun. But from our vision, oh, it's cloudy. The sun has gone away. No. You go in an airplane above the clouds, what do you see? Bright sun. But it appears that the sun is covered. So this, as I've said many times, this example of the sun is used so often in the Vedas. Because if you understand this example of the sun, you can understand so much about transcendental Vedanta. All right, let's go on. Lord Krishna in this chapter explains what these modes are, how they act upon us, and how one transcends them. That's actually the most important. How do I transcend these modes? And the symptoms of one who has attained the transcendental state. Now, Prabhupada in the very first verse gives a summary of the whole chapter. So listen now to Srila Prabhupada's summary. Srila Prabhupada ki. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. Now listen, this is what I was mentioning before. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he or she will come to an understanding of devotional service. So just even you can understand this philosophically, he's saying you can come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to the association with these modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now, in this 14th chapter, the Supreme Personality explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this 14th chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord Himself to be superior to the knowledge given so far in the other 13 chapters. So it's not just Prabhupada saying it. Krishna says it, this chapter. Very good. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and were transferred to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, the place where there's no anxiety. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attained perfection. Reminds us of chapter 4, where Krishna said, where Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, by understanding my birth and activities in truth. In the very next verse, he says, many people in the past became purified by knowledge of me. It's not a new thing. This process has always been there. If you understand Krishna, this Krishna, in truth, then you can achieve perfection. That's why I've said many times, you don't realize how close you are to perfection in this life. You're this close. You're very, very close, but at the same time, so far away. You're close, but far away. Don't give up. Stay the course. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. Now, the question then arises. Oh, so if I memorize the chapter? No. Understanding necessitates execution. I was asked this question recently by someone, one of my students online. Not just knowing it. If you actually know it, then you put it into practice. So theoretically, not enough. You have to put it. All right. So let's look at what is in this chapter. And in my previous homework assignments, I have taken all the chapters of Bhagavad Gita and broken it out into subdivisions. That's the benefit of having me. I do lots of homework. So, in the first five verses of this chapter, Krishna outlines the fundamental principles to understand the modes. It's in this chapter where Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. For me, again, coming from the Catholic Christian tradition, we were trained that God is the Father. So, when I read in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, I am the seed-giving Father, now I know what to say to Christians. The Christians are very fond of Jesus Christ. I say, great! But do you know who is his Father? It is Krishna. And here is the verse. Aham bijapradapita. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving Father of all living entities. And then I also say, your Bible says, no one goes to the Father except through Jesus. I did that. I followed Jesus for 22 years. He showed me the Father, Krishna. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! They can't argue with me. I'm one of their own, but I have crossed over. JJ. So, I just certainly did. So, also in this opening section, Krishna explains, so there are three modes. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, in the Uddhava Gita, is in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's actually the last thing Krishna does before giving up, before Krishna returns to the spiritual world. The last thing Krishna did was to leave confidential knowledge with Uddhav. It's called the Uddhava Gita. After Kurukshetra, after Bhagavad Gita, after all of that. So in that Uddhava Gita, which is several chapters, many chapters, more than 10, Krishna will explain, mode of goodness is preferred. You should try to live your life as much as possible in the mode of goodness. What is that? No illicit sex. No intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, being clean, coming to the temple, acting according to the regulations of the scriptures. This is the mode of goodness. Acquiring knowledge, giving in charity. The second mode, the mode of passion, you should be indifferent to it. Don't hate it, don't like it. The mode of passion will be explained in this chapter. The best thing you can expect out of the mode of passion is that in your next birth, you come back as a human being. In the mode of goodness, you can become a resident of the heavenly planets. Just like here in America, you have, let's say, downtown LA. You can live in downtown LA. Or you can live in Bel Air. Still Los Angeles, but different living condition, is it not? You can live in Koreatown, or you can live in Rancho Palos Verdes. I don't see anybody building a mansion in Koreatown. But I have a friend who's about to build a nice mansion in Palos Verdes. Right? He's not going to sink a few million dollars into, you know, East LA. No. So there are different living conditions even in California, right? And similarly, there are different living conditions in the material world. So the higher up you go, the living conditions are nicer. You will read in Bhagavatam, our streets here are made of asphalt, right? Concrete. In Indra's city, the streets are made of diamonds, rubies, lapis lazuli, gems. What to speak of Krishna's abode? Krishna's abode, everything is conscious. It's a big, different experience. So if you live in the mode of goodness, you're promoted to the range of the realms of the devatas. You get to live with them. Once you're there, you'll realize. Okay, I'll give you... Wait. Okay. I have been in South India. No offense. When I visited South India, we rode over many roads I will never ride over again in my life. The roads were so bad. Okay? Here, at least we have roads. We can go to some places in this world, there are no roads. Yeah, it's a big difference. So if you're going to live... Okay, do you want to... Okay, where do you live now? All right. Okay. Paths, yes. Yes, I'm talking about driving a car. Okay? Trust me. When I went to Udupi, yes, we had to go up a mountain, and the sign said, road washed out. But the driver told my sponsor, no, I can do. That was a night in hell. Yes, thank you. For 6 hours, I was on the edge of my... Krishna was testing me. You sure you want to go to Udupi? I had no choice. So, I'll take these roads any day. Anyway, obviously, you have already transcended living in the heavenly planets. Very good for you. Very good. So, do you want to go to the spiritual world? That's all that matters. All right. So, the first 5 verses... Fundamental principles of the modes of nature. Krishna Kumar, we have started early because there was no Gita class. So I'm just giving them a short Gita class and then we'll have Chaitanya Charitamrita. All right. And maybe we'll go longer today. We'll go up to 12. All in favor, say Hari Bol. All right, we'll do that. Because I'm really fired up. All right, so the verses 6 to 18... Krishna gives a comparative analysis, objective analysis, between the three modes. He says, the mode of goodness. Oh, I didn't get finished saying. So, mode of passion, you should be indifferent. And the mode of ignorance, detest it, despise it, reject it. Do not have anything to do with the mode of ignorance. Intoxication, right? Gross sinful activities are symptoms of the mode of ignorance. I always say, stay away from Las Vegas. Las Vegas is the capital city of Tamogun. Las Vegas should be called Tamodwar. Someday I will talk to the Chamber of Commerce. Change your name. Tamodwar, the door to ignorance. Yes. So that's what Krishna says in Uddhava Gita. Goodness? Good. Live like that. Passion? Be indifferent. Ignorance? Spit on it. So Krishna says here, the mode of goodness is purer than the others. It's illuminating. And it frees you from sinful reactions. And you become conditioned to a sense of happiness and knowledge. The mode of passion, what is it born of? Desires and longings. I want this. I shall do this. I want, right? And the mode of ignorance, the mode of darkness, what is that? Madness, sleep, indolence. You become completely conditioned. When you live in the mode of goodness, you gradually improve your living situation. Mode of passion, you stay in the earthly realm. In the mode of darkness, you go down. Animal, aquat, you take very low birth, like that. All right. So, the rest of the chapter is all about Arjuna asks the question, Krishna, tell me what would be someone who has transcended these modes? Very similar to what he said in chapter 2. A very similar question. So Arjuna says, I want to know, what are the symptoms of someone who has transcended these modes? And the most important question, how can I transcend? And that's why that most important verse, Krishna gives a description of what it means to transcend. But when Arjuna asks, how do I do it? One of the most top 10 verses of Gita. Everyone should memorize this verse. Mam chayo yabicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Number 26. Chapter 14. Yeah, let's do it together. This is an important, I said, top 10. This verse, if you understand this verse, you can give a lecture on Bhagavad Gita easily. So, chapter 14, verse 26. When you're all ready, we will chant it together. Chapter 14, verse 26. Are we ready? Oh, 1 minute, okay. Yes, ma'am. No problemo. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Are we ready? Here we go. Mam chayo viyavicharena. Bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Now all of you read together out loud the translation nicely. 1, 2, 3. All right, so the key concepts here. You have to engage in bhakti yoga. And how many different varieties of bhakti yoga are there, Bhatuk? 9. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare. Pujana Shaki Janatma Nivedana Govinda Dasabi Lashari. So, you've heard me say a billion times, let's see now who can pass my test. Ved. Of the 9 processes, which 2 are the most important? You passed your examination. Yes, hearing and chanting about who? Yes, Krishna God, spiritual life. So, bhakti yogena, mang achayo vyabhicharena. Now, that's important. It has to be non-stop. It has to be continuous, like my name, Nirantara, without cessation. In other words, like many people, not just Hindus, all religion, they go to church one day a week for maybe a half hour, hour at the most. And they think, now my business is done. 6 9/10 of the rest of the week, material activities. See? That's not the Abhicharena. No, it has to be 24/7, 365, year after, continuous. That's how you transcend. Because as soon as you stop engaging in this devotional service, immediately the modes capture you. It's just like, let's say, you're in a pool or in a lake. The water is here. So as long as you paddle, you're above. You stop paddling, you sink. Now, what's most of us doing? Down, up. That's what most of us are doing. It's up and down, up and down. But if you want to transcend, you got to keep your head above the water. That's why in that song, Etaha Ebhava Sindhure, the ocean of material existence. That's why I've always mentioned that movie, Titanic, towards the end when the boat sank and it's dark and everyone is shivering in the cold water. When I saw that scene, I said, that's perfect to describe this material world. Some people were sinking. Some had pieces of the boat that they were clinging onto. That would be the spiritual master who you cling to and he delivers you. Such a great scene. So, you have to engage in devotional service non-stop. Then, you transcend the mode. Samatityayatan. Now, the last line. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. You regain your original spiritual status. Your original spiritual status is the same as Krishna. Krishna is also Brahma Bhuyaya. He's not Maya Bhuyaya. No, there's no materiality in Krishna. He's Brahma, and we are Brahma Bhuyaya. So what is that? What is Krishna's nature? Sat, Chit, Ananda. Without any interruption. So when you do this devotional service non-stop, you achieve an equal spiritual status with Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, when he was instructing Sanatana Goswami, one of my favorite statements by Lord Chaitanya, that when you surrender, or officially it's called initiation, at that time, Krishna accepts you as good as himself. Now you got to keep that. You have to keep that, how shall we say, privilege to associate with Krishna. That's why Prabhupada insisted, no cheap disciples. You have to strictly follow the four regulative principles so that you can actually associate with Krishna on his platform. Because Krishna is not going to associate anything material. We already learned the material energy is the inferior energy. If you remain in the material energy, there is no question of associating with Krishna because he does not associate with the inferior energy. He has the superior energy. Batuk, show us where the superior energy is. Who? Ah. She's the superior energy. For those who want to experience God in the material energy, there you go. But it's in the material realm, modes of nature. But once you transcend, and once you get on Krishna's same equal status, you can associate on that level. The choice is yours. How do you want to associate? Now, the very last verse of this chapter is also big, big, big verse. The final verse of this chapter. What is the Sanskrit? Brahmano hi pratishtaham, first line. What's the next line? Amritat. Next line. Tasya. Read out loud the translation together, everyone. So the first line is the most important. Brahmano hi pratishta aham. And you've heard me say a billion times, don't be spiritually dyslexic. Right? Dyslexic means you get things backwards. So this verse proves that the Brahman comes from Krishna, not vice versa, which you have heard a billion times in India. Because I've heard it a billion times from Indian people. South India, North India, West India, East India. Yes. Many people think Krishna is a manifestation of the Brahman. But this verse is saying the exact opposite. That's why I'm hammering this point. What is Krishna saying? I am the basis of Brahman. Otherwise, the verse would have been the Brahman, right? The Krishna would have said, I come from Brahman. Doesn't say that. He says the exact opposite. The Brahman comes from me. Just like your son would be completely crazy if he said, I created my parents. When it was just the opposite. You created your son. You procreated. Okay, I know you want to get technical. Right? The child cannot claim, I created you, therefore you must do what I say. Would you? You can't accept that. No, the child has to do what the parent says because the parent came before the son. And that's why the child can never fully appreciate who the parents were because they were existing before he was, materially speaking. Just like Rasik Bhai, you lost your mother. So there are going to be so many things about your mother you cannot possibly have known because she was living so many years before you. Now, she might have told you many things, but there are many things she might not have told you. You have no way of knowing. Which is why Prabhupada also said, you cannot understand who is the father unless the mother points out. Of course, now everyone's going to say, oh, there's DNA. Yeah, all right. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. So, Prabhupada uses that point, and I put it in one of my songs. It's only by Mother Vedas that we can understand who is the father. In one of my songs, my rock and roll songs I sing, that Mother Vedas points out who you really are, and that Krishna is your father. That's what Mother... So, the Vedas... So, that's why we say that when you take initiation, it's your second birth. Your first birth was from your mother and father. Your second birth is from Vedas and Guru. The Guru is the father, Mother Vedas. They come together and give you your second birth, such as Krishna Kumar Das. No more Kundan, except for Kundan Loka. That remains. But now, you're getting a new name, right? This is like me. I was Nicholas D'Angelo. But on April 16, 1974, the letter is there. Nick D'Angelo, Nirantara Das. It's in the book of life. So you get a new name, signifying that you're born again. I love that, because there's a certain group who would always chastise me. Are you born again? And I say, I sure am. Look, here's my umbilical cord. Here is it. See my umbilical cord? I'm born again of the Spirit. Praise God. All right. That's enough of Bhagavad Gita. Did you enjoy chapter 14? Very good. All right, let's do a quick kirtan.